Hi, this is Imelda May, and you're listening to the wonderful Lee Williams.
My thoughts are dark and empty. I'm not crying out loud. Don't know what am I asking for if an answer can't be found. The loneliness is killing. Oh, there's someone in my bed. There's only so much living now. I fear I could be dead. But then standing at my window when the night seems like it's won.
Thrilled to be asked today to interview this lovely lady, Imelda May. I've been a fan of yours for years. Welcome.
Thank you very much. That was really.
Well, you look a lot different to the last time I saw you.
Yeah, just good to shake it up. Change is as good as the best.
Because you've developed a new sound. You've come away from the rockabilly sound, and you've been recording with T-Bone Burnett.
Yeah.
Tell me about the new single.
The new single is at the moment is called Call Me, and I wrote that in my kitchen, the kitchen table, with a great guy, Patrick Davis. I did a little co-writing on this, which I've never done before. I'd say probably half of the album is co-written and the rest is just myself, where on the last albums I just wrote alone. So it was quite nice to try that, and I wanted to learn new things on this album. Life has changed. Life changes, and so it should. And I wanted to learn, try new things, which I did. And then I heard T-Bone Burnett was interested, and he said, something when I met him, he said, I've been watching you for a while, and he said, you weren't ready for me, but you're ready now.
That's a nice compliment.
Yes, very much so. He'd heard the demos, and I was delighted to work with him because I've been a fan of his for a long time.
And did you record it here or in America?
Recorded it in the Village in LA, and I wrote a lot of it. Oh, I wrote it all over the place. I wrote it on planes, trains, England, Ireland, Paris, Nashville, New York, LA. I wrote a lot. I wrote about 36 or 38 songs for this album and then whittled it down.
And when does the album come out?
I have no idea.
They did say next year.
Something like that. Spring, I think. I just leave that to them. They need to get things set up all the time and right for different interviews. So I leave them to that. I just go along with it, and I don't fight anything like that. I just leave that up to record companies. As long as I get enough time to do what I want to do. Once I'm done with the album, I don't mind what happens after that, you know. And they were really good at me on this album. I want to take time because on the last album, I kind of hurry it up a bit at the end, you know, and there'd be deadlines. And I said I didn't want to go for any deadlines. I just wanted to write what I wanted when I wanted to get the best album possible. And that was more important to me than meeting deadlines. And even just with that, without those things upon you, you tend to write better and probably quicker anyway, like anything you do. If there's pressure on you, makes your brain melt, whereas if you're left with a bit calm, you get better results, I think. Wrote the songs, the demos, and then recorded 15 songs in 7 days, which was fantastic because it had a crazy electricity to it. And then spent longer editing and mixing than recording and then mastering and back and forth with stuff like that. But I'm really happy, actually. I think this is my favourite album of all the albums I've written.
Is it a new band as well that you'll be going out with?
Yes and no. It was on the recording, it was T-Bone's guys. And he thought about it very much to get the right people in. And I had Jay Bellarose on drums, Zach Dawes on bass, and Mark Rebo on guitar. I mean, they were amazing. And T-Bone played a little as well. And then added bits and pieces afterwards, Hammond and a bit of double bass and things like that later. But on the road, it's my guys plus some extra. It's the biggest band I've ever had. And I need that. In fact, it's still probably half of what I need. But it's instead of 5 of us, there'll be 10 of us. So far, my manager's having a heart attack.
But yes.
But that's the only way I could recreate what was done on the album. Even though there was a small amount of us, I spent a couple of days doing backing vocals and stuff, and I always do that. T-Bone just left me on my own. It's just the way I like to work. And said, I'll see you in a couple of days, and then I just layer and layer and layer and come up with all kinds of ideas and various things. So to do that, I needed to get extra backing vocalists in. There was Hammond on it, so I wanted a Hammond player in. There was Rebo double, triple, quadruple tracked his guitar, so I needed extra. So in order to make it sound how the record does, I have my core band and then I have some extra people, and it sounds amazing, I think, anyway. I'm biased.
Now, you've got a video out with the single as well.
Yeah, it's quite a chilled out song. I wanted it to be a very simple song.
What's the story?
Bloody heartbreak. yeah, just waiting on somebody to call you, and just that awful angst, willing that phone to ring and it doesn't. You know that's literally what was happening. And Patrick, my friend Patrick Davis, who was touring, and he popped off in the house he was passing by to say hi. And when he came in, I was at a state of the kitchen table, heartbroken, and he was going, write it down. I was going, no. He's going, you're writing this song. So It was very, very raw. I was right in the middle of it, and but I wanted it to be simple in that kind of, you know, I love a lot of the some of my favourite Sam Cooke and Van Morrison and stuff and all that. It's just really simple. Even a lot of the blues stuff that I like, the lyrics are just really simple. They say everything without saying hardly anything at all. And that's what I wanted this song to be.
And I think some of the biggest successes have been from heartbreak.
Yeah, I know.
It's the biggest life problem.
Isn't it? At least there's a silver lining, you know, that you get a song out of it.
Unfortunately, I think most people suffer it, though, so they can relate to it.
Oh, God, yes. I've plenty of suffering, so hopefully I'll get plenty of albums. Yeah.
Is the album full of heartbreak, or is that a mixture?
No, it's a mixture, because I don't want to be doing that, because, you know, if you're a gigging musician, you're aware that you have to gig whatever album you make for a long time, and if it's just a song of heartbreak, you have to relive that, because every time I sing a song, I relive exactly where I was when I wrote it, every single song that I write, and some I can't sing now because it's just too emotional, and it's weird that you have to kind of detach yourself slightly in order to perform, because if you're too connected, you just lose it completely. So you have to get a small detachment but be able to tap into it to perform. So I didn't want an album of just complete heartbreak, because, you know, I had a lot of things happen. I fell out of love, then I fell in love, didn't want to fall in love, then did fall in love, then got heartbroken, and that's life. And I just wanted to write about all of that, and I think that affects most people throughout their lives, you know.
With your music and your performances, are you still using some of the old material? Because, I mean, us fans of the early Imelda May will probably want to hear that. Are we not going to hear that anymore?
No, I'll do some of them, of course. I mean, I like to keep people happy to come to the gigs and spend their well-earned cash, but I will want to gig this new album. I mean, that's normal. You get so excited about the new stuff you're doing that you don't want to keep going back. I think if you're anyway creative, you have to keep looking forward, you know. That's what drives you to be creative and progressive and learn and push yourself and get better. And you can't keep looking back. So
oh, no.
I will do some of them, but I'll do.
I've seen the video and just love the song, but it's so far removed from what people remember of Imelda May, and you don't even look like you used to.
I just got a new hairdo, that's all.
I know, but you had a hell of a hairdo before.
Well, I got bored that what people wanted to talk to me about, and here I am talking about it again. No disrespect whatsoever, by the way. But I got bored with such a strong image that it takes away from your songwriting or how people perceive you. And you know that you've been around long enough, and then it just gets boring. You know, you can write stuff as much as you want, and you can get as good as you want, and then you sit and talk to people, and they just want to talk to you about your hair and your lipstick, not how you wrote a song, or they don't want to know about, you know, I've produced albums, they don't want to talk about how I mixed it, what musicians we used, why, or, you know, and you as a music journalist, you'd understand that completely. And it just gets absolutely tedious, you know, when you want to talk about music, which is what I'm in it for, really, and you, I'm sure, too.
Sure.
And
well,
you don't want to talk about hair. And then, of course, you get your hair cut, and then everyone wants to talk about your hair. So it backfires.
It's nice to have hair to do.
exactly, yeah.
Well, finally, when are you going on the road with this so people are going to want to see you all over the country?
I think I'm going to go out in May. On the road in May, as far as I know, and probably going to be on the road for a while, which is it suits me. I like gigging, you know. I'm dying to get this out and about and see how it goes.
I know there's a showcase coming up in a week's time up in London at Ronnie Scott's, which I'm looking forward to seeing.
I'm going to be in rehearsals for a few days with that, because I want to do the one thing I've done on each album is I like to do proper showcase or a launch where you get to do an album in its entirety, because there's something really satisfactory about that. Because you write, for me, I still write an album as an album as opposed to singles. I'll write it as a whole and I'll plan it that way. I wrote on this album just to write songs, but then when I'm choosing the songs, I'll choose it as an album. And to hear it, and then I'll take a lot of time playing things in different orders to make sure it's in the right order as a listener, that it makes sense as you're listening to it. So to get it to play it live like that, I'll probably never get to do that again, because as you said, you'd be putting in other songs and earlier hits. So a showcase or a launch is lovely to do, because you just get to do the new album and you feel a...
And you're not going to upset anybody, because that's what they're coming for, to see.
That's what it is. And then when you do the gig, then you can put in your other well-known stuff. So it's just a nice thing for me and for the band to get to do, you know.
Well, Imelda, good luck with the single.
Thank you very much.
With the video.
Thank you.
And look forward to the showcase and also when you're on tour.
Thanks very much. It was really nice to talk to you. Hi, this is Imelda May and you're listening to the wonderful Lee Williams.
Put it down, then I pick it back up. Praying for your name to pop up. Telling me that you're still in love with me. No matter how hard I hope, no matter how much I want, no matter how bad I'm broke, you still don't call. You've taken all the time you need. If I love means anything, baby, please call me. Can't sleep, I'm scared to dream. I'm remembering everything that you said to me when I was yours and you were mine, and I didn't have to wait all night for you to call me. You've taken all the time you need. If I love means anything, baby, please call me. Baby, please call me.